Good afternoon. It is a Thursday, August the 23rd, 2018, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and boy, what a week it has been in the news. What a week it has been here in Ohio with everything going on with President Trump. The 4 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday between Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, and the news cycle that followed has been something out of a fairy tale novel, to be perfectly honest with you. And here in Ohio, we've had our own investigation. Our Ohio State football coach, Urban Meyer, under investigation for possibly not reporting things when he should. The verdict came in last night about 8:45. He will be suspended for 3 games, as will Athletic Director Gene Smith. And who do we turn to when we need opinions on all things of this nature? There's only one guy who we could call. He's a good friend of this program, a good friend of mine. I'm always happy to hear his voice. You probably remember him best for HBO Boxing After Dark, where he was one of the best, if not the best, boxing analyst in the history of boxing. His interviews with the fighters after the fight extemporaneously were pure magic. So when I hear this voice, it's always a good day. It's a good day on the program to welcome Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
Good morning from out here, Scott. I am in the fairy tale and magic capital of the world, and I don't know how fairy tales and magic can compete with truth and reality going on in our world at the same time.
Well, you know, Larry, I used to think this would make a great movie, what's going on. You couldn't write it any better.
Well, this is stuff you can't make up, because there's a lot of it that has just not happened before in the present political climate and social climate. And it's fascinating stuff, and we seem to be trying to find where truth separates from truth, and how the true believers feel about what they're seeing and hearing, and the rest of, I assume, us are seeing it as a kind of sad theater of the absurd.
Larry, I want to start with Paul Manafort. Now, here's what we know. He was convicted on 8 counts of 18 that there possibly could have been. Now, none of those were related to President Trump, but here's the problem. Those 8 counts he was convicted of could lead up to 80 years in prison, and a 68-year-old guy, that's the rest of his life. So, he's got 3 choices now. Cooperate with Mueller, which I guess he can still do, get a pardon by Trump, which isn't out of the question, or spend the rest of his life in prison. He's not going to go for door number 3. What do you see happening there?
Well, get out of prison free is a pretty good option for him. If indeed it's there, if indeed President Trump is sending that signal out to him by favoring him. I'm surprised that Trump hasn't pointed out that there were 18 charges and 10 of them didn't reach the conclusion. So 10 to 8, he did pretty good. He only got convicted on 8 charges. Why are they bothering this good citizen? Also, however, from a fairy tale land, I'm finding out things I never knew, that there was python skin coats and ostrich jackets and such. Those kind of details would fascinate any Hollywood producer.
Do you think President Trump is seriously considering this, pardoning him?
Sure. Why not? But I think he's waiting. The timing is not right for that. This trial was not directly implicating him. It's just another story about the guys he drained the swamp with guys who turned out to be deeper in the swamp than the previous people, because there have already been 5 convictions or admissions of guilt by people who were around him. You know, we don't know where the tipping point comes, where suddenly there's some revelation that really shocks everybody, because the Mueller investigation has been very professional about keeping things in secret that are supposed to be, and so we don't know where this is going and what information they have, and the way it has gone, there's obviously stuff they know that we have no knowledge of. And then the question comes before the election, the by-election, whether there is some really shocking news development, or after the election, depending on how the election goes, whether his party turns against Trump.
If I'm President Trump, strictly with this Manafort issue, I've got to be thinking that now, since he's convicted, even though he still faces another trial, that if I don't send strong signals that I'm going to pardon him, he's going to make a deal with Mueller, because he doesn't want to go to prison the rest of his life. So it's like a game of chicken. How long can he hold out? Because he certainly, I would think, would not want him to talk to Mueller unless Manafort knows nothing, which I guess could be a possibility.
You know, this is above my pay grade. Of course, we're all interested in the narrative and how the story turns out and what the president is going to tweet in the middle of the night, and whether the crowds he speaks to are going to still be yelling, "Lock her up." This is a storyline that maybe has no precedent because of the personality and character of the president. I mean, he hired Manafort, who had been working in the Ukraine government for the Russian side of the Ukraine-Russian disputes, as his campaign manager. Meanwhile, we know that he's done business with the oligarchs in that part of the world. Meanwhile, he is not just patting Putin on the back, but thumping him on the back, and criticizing our allies. So how does all that play into this? Well, none of that is illegal as far as I can see, but it sure sends up a lot of question marks and a lot of balloons, and the law grinds slowly than politics does, but the law is coming to some conclusions, and some turns that may and undoubtedly will change the story in one way or another.
The other story from Tuesday, maybe the story that's gotten more attention, is obviously the Michael Cohen story, because he...
Well, Michael Cohen is interesting, is, according to the president, a bad lawyer. This is after he employed him for 10 years. How long did it take him to find out that he was employing a bad lawyer?
You know, I couldn't figure that tweet yesterday. Was he trying to be funny or discreditable?
No, he's not trying to be funny. He just thinks we all have 10-second memories, because in 10 seconds he can change the story, and often does.
It's fascinating, because not only does Michael Cohen take a plea deal, but he implicates the president.
Wait a minute, Scott. My understanding is that he has not taken a plea deal yet.
Right, no plea. He has plea.
Right, he has volunteered.
Yes.
The truth, if there is such a thing as truth anymore, to substantiate the documentation of what the investigation has dug up. So he has not made a plea deal yet. He obviously is casting his line out there to get a eventual plea deal, but it hasn't happened yet. So he is obviously, the president thinks he's trying, Cohen is trying to save his own skin by telling the truth.
Well, that's what brings, you're exactly right, and that brings another interesting question, because everybody else in this saga, Flynn, Papadopoulos, and Gates, all took plea deals to tell the truth. Now, Michael Cohen has told the truth without a plea deal in hopes of getting, so he must really, what must he know? Who knows?
Well, he's been the president's fixer, by all accounts, for a decade. And remember how they scooped up all of the tapes and papers he has in his office and in his home. By they, I mean the FBI. And so, obviously, there's a lot of material out there that may be material evidence.
When he went before the judge on Tuesday and implicated the president without a plea deal twice and said he ordered and directed me to pay Stormy Daniels and McDougal money to help his campaign, that, and the president hasn't denied it, to my knowledge.
And his true believers are in shock. You know, why should, I mean, we as a country elected a president who admitted to many affairs while he was married, and that didn't seem to bother his supporters, and we saw him online admitting that he went around grabbing women by their private parts. And so why should anybody be shocked that he paid off women to be silent about their affairs on the evening, so to speak, of the presidential election? Now, maybe that's illegal, but we all get it. We all get that people do these things, even though... our founding fathers were very concerned about buying elections. So it goes.
This part of it, to me, likens more to Bill Clinton than Richard Nixon, because Bill Clinton's was a female thing. He lied. He didn't pay hush money, but he lied about having a relationship. And he did get impeached. This president apparently has done something similar, broken a law, Republicans totally silent.
Well, Let's remember that these kinds of investigations, both of Nixon and of Clinton, took a few years before they came to fruition. And we're only a year and a half into this Trump era as a president. So more and more things may unfold. Clinton was impeached, but the impeachment didn't stick because the Senate didn't vote for impeachment. Nixon resigned in advance. So all of these things have variations on a certain thing. But in the case of Clinton, this had nothing to do with the election process. This had to do with his private proclivities and sex and all that good stuff. But it wasn't to help him get elected by paying hush money. That's a different ballgame.
So that leads us to the election of 2016. Back to that election. We can't get away from it because all these crimes seem to surround it. Is it just going to be too bad?
By the way,
yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Is this still a witch hunt? Because we're finding an awful lot of witches. I mean, maybe he's just describing the people around him as witches, because that's so far that's what the investigations have revealed. But hey, his followers still believe it's all a witch hunt. It's all the deep state. It's all the Democrats that the president himself appointed, like the attorney general, who he's still trying to get to resign from his office, like the head of the FBI. All his appointments turn out to be the witches that are being hunted.
In this whole thing, the nearly 2 years of the Trump presidency, aside from the tax cut for the wealthier group, what has been changed? Healthcare has not. The wall is not being built. Is anything changing?
I think there are a lot of things changing in the agencies, for example, that are a part of the executive branch and the appointees and the policies and regulations and rules, for example, on environmental protections, on financial protections, and so forth and so on. These are, in general, part of the Republican agenda. And, hey, they won the election, and that's what they can do, as well as the appointment of many judges, and now the apparent upcoming appointment of a second Supreme Court justice. So these are important things in the government. They may not be as headline grabbing as some other aspects of this presidency, but this is the true deep state.
Well, that becomes a question of the last election, because we thought they won, but all these laws, campaign finance, you can't deal with a foreign entity who is hostile to the United States. If all this was done prior to the last election, and we certainly believe the campaign finance laws were violated now, are laws just made to be broken with no consequence?
Well, that's how Donald Trump functioned as a businessman who admitted to bankruptcy 6 times and stiffed all kinds of people who had contracts with him, and just sailed along and made whatever deals he could. And one of those Mark Twain American characters who was able to dominate or be one of the supreme real estate hustlers in the country. And they're that kind of person is a sort of a free enterprise sociopath. They don't believe the rules apply to them. They only believe in people who are loyal to them, and a contract is just the beginning of a conversation, not the end of it, and so forth. So why is it any great revelation that the president, who functioned that way as a businessman, is trying to function that way as a president? Ethics don't matter. It's all transactional, and it's who pays who what and who's loyal to whom, and all the rest is just stuff in the textbooks and idealism run amok. That world, to them, is the real world. They make the rules.
In that world, though, you do have Democrats who clearly do not like this man. You have Republicans, including our governor, John Kasich, who doesn't like this man. And you have Hillary Clinton, who, as near as I can tell, was the recipient of all this bad stuff last time, who doesn't like this man. Do all these people just, because they haven't really done anything yet, do they just live with it and say, okay?
Well, I think, look, I think what's happening is Republican politicians are not unlike Democratic politicians in that their first loyalty is to themselves and their jobs, and we haven't reached the tipping point where they could cross over and become truth sayers. They're waiting for that moment, and it's before a by-election, and they're not going to jump ahead of the game. So all we can do is follow the case histories, because it's now starting to unfold, waiting for the charges from the Mueller investigation and the revelations that we have no idea about. And that's just the nature of the political system. I get it. I'm not surprised that there haven't been more than a couple of Republican senators who have stood up and called this ethical breach, these ethical breaches, what they are, but they're not running for re-election, and that tells you something about the political system. And so the justice side is grinding, but when it comes to conclusions, it will be telling.
The one thing that is in my mind, and I think we talked about this last time, when the last indictment from Mueller came down, the thing that stuck out the most to me in that report was that voter rolls in 39 states were compromised. 500,000 people's information was compromised. Now, why that sticks out is this week, on Tuesday, we learned that Russia again tried to hack the DNC for the upcoming election, and again they were going after the voter rolls, but this time they caught them. Now, that's not Facebook. That's not ads. That's not trying to change somebody's mind. There's only one reason you go into voter rolls, and that's to change votes. That's how you win elections in this country.
Or to discourage votes, or to suppress votes.
Right.
And all of that awful, awful, awful stuff. That also sometimes is just regarded as part of the political system. Republicans, after all, have won state elections. They do have the power to do certain things, and sometimes they may have overstepped, and the courts may have slammed them down in voter suppression. But in the age of social media, is way ahead of how both the social media companies and the body politic knows how to really respond and deal with it. And that's something way beyond my pay scale, too. I think there are people trying to deal with it. I don't know if they know how. And getting Facebook and other companies on board is, without them being accused of taking one side or the other, I don't know how this will all come about. Eventually, there'll be some kind of regulation, but these are things we're in finding out about in real time. And it is a threat. It was one of the founders' real concerns about foreign countries invading our shores, in effect, by trying to buy or contribute to one side or the other in elections. This is a pretty serious matter, and I'm not sure everybody is on board to try to solve and resolve this at the same time. I mean, how often has Trump call this all a sham before, even as his own people were telling him that this happened, and his voters didn't care or agreed. So this is the real core of this whole investigation, in trying to find out exactly how to cope with foreign intervention and maybe that's will be the good news at the end of all this.
Larry, this will be a purely speculative answer on your part, but this is the question I can't understand. If Russia wanted to interfere in the last election, 2016, which we know they did, they would want to change votes, I would imagine. That's the whole point. So,
when you say change votes, are you talking about getting into voting systems and physically changing them, or just changing hearts and minds about how they should vote?
Well,
both?
I think both, because I think we know they tried to change minds on Facebook. And the last indictment with the 39 state voter rolls, that leads me to this speculative question. Forget the Facebook part of it, but if you want to go in and change votes so somebody wins, you obviously don't want to be detected doing that. Now, the last indictment, however Mueller got that information, whether it was CIA, FBI, whatever it was, he charged these Russians in the indictment with getting into the voter rolls and having 500,000 people's information. So he has to know that that happened. How could he know that that happened if something wasn't messed with or changed?
I don't know. They have their ways. That's why we have an FBI and a CIA and people who spend their lives dealing with foreign governments and what they're up to. And in this age of instant communications, I guess it's harder and harder, but apparently they've all of the our institutions of justice have come to the same conclusion that this happened. So I don't have any answers. I have the kind of questions that you do, and how do we make this right? How do we encourage people to vote instead of discourage them, and how do we assure our systems, both technologically and in other and in communications, and hold foreign governments to account if they try this stuff?
There have been a lot of things that we say, boy, that was unthinkable. And now we look back at it, and it happened. Certainly, Nixon resigning was unthinkable at one point, and Ford pardoning him was unthinkable at one point. The impeachment of Bill Clinton was thought to be unthinkable. The way George W. Bush won the first election, the Florida Supreme Court with his brother as governor, people thought that was unthinkable. If we do get to the point where we say votes were messed with, what's the best solution to fix that problem? Do we just let it stand as it is and go through the normal motions, or does somebody intervene?
Well, it's a, you know, power is a powerful aphrodisiac. And there are people who want power and will do anything and just say, well, that's how the game is played. Because the assumption is the other side is doing anything as well. And that's not going to stop anytime soon. In particular, in the climate we have with the 1% or the 0.1% who control corporate America and want to have an outsized input into how the government functions, which is for them, as we saw in the recent tax cut. Maybe we have to go back to teaching civics in schoolrooms. And maybe we have to find some people who work above board and are honest, and to give us some living examples of our ideals and convictions of what this country is about. Human nature being what it is, power being such a powerful force, I'm not holding my breath until it happens, and I don't have much breath left in my life, I guess.
In the world we're in, as we head wherever we head, the only person, aside from the sitting congresspeople and senators and governors who are Democratic, who seem to be speaking out against this, is Hillary Clinton. Really, the former people, Obama, Clinton, they're not really doing anything. Is Hillary Clinton ever going to disappear? We know she's funding candidates this fall. She's raising money to do that. She's encouraging people to register. Is Hillary Clinton going to be in the game until she draws her final breath?
I think so. In one way or another, she has a constituency. I mean, she only pulled 3 million more votes than the president did. So that gives her a certain authenticity and power among her followers. And from what I've read, she is going to be doing a lot of campaigning for various people. And I think, and at the end of the day, they may actually try to lock him up instead of her up.
Well, that's rightly put. And do you think, though, and again, it's speculative, but if it comes down to, well, Hillary, you really did win, but you didn't. Because that's the focus of the Mueller investigation, truly. It's, did Donald Trump collude with the Russians to defeat Hillary Clinton? That was the opposition. Is she the type of person who can take that and just say, aw shucks?
Oh, sure. You know, maybe he won't wake up one morning, or maybe he'll be even tweeting from the grave. And still broadcasting his about this witch hunt in which he turned out to be the chief witch. And so he's not going to, I mean, his MOA has always been delay the law, and as a private citizen, he was able to get away with a lot of stuff, and he just thought that he could be the president of the United States and the leader of the world without having to follow the letter of the law or the aspiration of the law and make his own law. And gradually, inch by inch, it's starting to get closer and closer. I'm not predicting anything. There's still all the talk out there that you can't really indict a president, that the impeachment process is there for presidents who abuse office. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it is a civics lesson that many of us will not forget. And to remind us that we don't elect a king, he thinks we elected a king, and the only thing that matters is that everybody is loyal to him, not that everybody around him is a law-abiding person.
You know, we have watched Donald Trump come up as a young businessman, involved in boxing, involved in pro wrestling at one point, involved in television with The Apprentice. Is this the same guy, just in a different job?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't change, you just grow older. And this is what this kind of nervy hustler got to the position he got to. Here's a man who, in a country that feels strongly about what our military has been put through, particularly in recent decades, and he goes and kicks John McCain in his below the belt because he was captured in the Vietnam War and was a prisoner for 5 years. And his followers don't even care. They're patriots. They love the military. But in his case, so what? And all of the Bible thumpers support him because they think he's better for them than whoever the Democrat is, no matter what he actually does. hey, that's life in the modern age, and I hope that it will be a turning point, this, and that politics should not be above shame. And that we get the kind of government that we think we deserve, no matter which party it is.
It certainly is. Watching it is very interesting as it plays out. In the last 6 minutes here, Larry, here at Ohio State, we just had a big 3-week hiccup with the football coach, Urban Meyer. He was alleged to have known that one of his coaches was being investigated for domestic violence. He's suspended for 3 weeks. The athletic director is suspended for 3 weeks, both without pay. Is this just college sports getting caught, or is this something out of the ordinary?
Well, it certainly is out of the ordinary, but it's not out of the ordinary for very public people in recent times because of the social climate and the women's movement and how we treat women. And this was this is a case apparently of a man who knew what was going on but elected to ignore it. It's not totally dissimilar in some aspects to the end of Joe Paterno's career at Penn State and what it did to his reputation. But there is a certain kind of, in this social change, there is a certain moment of, for the want of a better word, hysteria out there, and we're looking as a society, as a world, to confront these issues when they become violent and unlawful, and not to overlook them as private so-called matters. And it doesn't seem to me like there's been any, I think Myers is getting, from what I read in the newspapers this morning, a pretty mild slap on the wrist for all of this. He's still going to be available for practices, as I understand it. And but it's a way of sending a message out there. If a coach of his stature can be exposed for making this kind of mistake and suffer some consequences, I think a lot of leaders in and out of football are going to start looking at themselves and looking at their colleagues and trying to restore order to the new order.
You know, Larry, I have watched this Ohio State thing play out, and of course, at the same time, watched what's going on with President Trump. And the one underlying theme in all this, whether President Trump did what he did or Urban Meyer did what he did, they both were investigated, but the people who love them, the people who follow them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The other side is always wrong.
Well, one of the things we've learned about is our tribal inclinations. to be protective of our quote own kind, our leaders who are our leaders, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But there are a lot of independent-minded people out there, and activists and so on, who can make the difference. As I heard someone say recently, in our history, there have always been 25% to 33% who will support anybody, anything. I mean, there was a time when at least a third of the people in America believed that the Pope was giving orders to any Catholic person in government. So there's always been tribalism, and now we're seeing it writ large because this is the ongoing narrative of this administration, and no matter what it tries to accomplish, much less accomplish, this narrative is dominating our world.
Before we part here, Larry, has this president, for good or bad, right or wrong, and whatever happens, has he changed the world?
I don't know if he's reflecting change, because we've seen authoritarian type figures around the world. Maybe it's the challenge of overpopulation, or if you pardon the expression, climate change, and things changing that we don't fully recognize at the moment. But it can't be an accident that personalities similar, if not the same, to our president have become forces in countries in the rest of the world. So I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe it's just about automation and how that's changing the world, and as well as the communications that binds different groups together to achieve power. It's some or all of the above, and we'll see if what I and perhaps you and many others regard as the good guys manage to stem this tide and restore some truth or reason to our affairs, to international affairs, and give us the thought that we're aligned with the right people, and the right people are trying to do right by us.
You know, interestingly enough, CNN has been doing this documentary on the 2000s, and last week they did the election of President Obama, and the commercial they kept running every 15 minutes was Obama on election night giving the winning speech saying, "Change has come to America." That's 2008. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Who knows?
Well, this is undisputably a reaction to his presidency and how a lot of people were disoriented that we elected a black president, and various political movements surfaced and found each other and coalesced around the figure of Donald Trump. I don't know if this is just a momentary in historically time, or whether this indicates something much broader that you and I and our children and our grandchildren and their grandchildren are going to have to figure out.
Very interesting, always thought-provoking, Larry Merchant. Larry, thank you so much. I always enjoy the conversation.
Thank you.
Stay well. Bye-bye. Larry Merchant, and we're done for this day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. They discuss topics. Take your calls at 403-8.